Hey everybody, before we get started, I do have a small message from one of our fellow podcasters.
The year is 1888, and we find ourselves in the far-flung corner of the United States, called the Pacific Northwest, in the two small towns of Seattle and Ballard. Under rainy gray skies and among the giant old-growth pine forests, there are secrets hiding, invisible to most people. Except for those with the second sight. Join us for a new actual play podcast called Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle. My name is Brian Kershaw, and I'll be your host and game master for this trip into a supernatural Seattle, where my friends and I will be playing a role-playing game called Vossen. Our show is a mix of comedy and horror, and we would love for you to join us. You can find episodes at spiritsandmonsters.com, or follow and subscribe for new episodes every other Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We can't wait for you to join us.
So, if you get a chance, give them a listen. Thank you very much, and back to our show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. I'm Jeff, your GM and local chronomancer. But before we get started, let's get some lightsaber checks. Sean.
Hey, I'm Sean and I play Fours, the level 8, level 9 shifter, and I rolled a 15. Marshall.
Hey everybody, this is Marshall and I play Keegan, level 9, fighter samurai, and I got a 18. John, why don't you go next?
Hey, this is John playing as Lucius, level 9 sorcerer that's got a bit of bard and also now a little bit of master of the unseen hand. And I got a total of 9. Jesse, why don't you go?
Hey everybody, I'm Jesse. I play Oswald. I am now an inquisitor / shadow dancer, level 6. And I got a 1.
Hey.
Backed up by a 15.
You son of a bitch. Don't you take this from me.
It would be good timing to do that. Mav, go ahead.
Hey, I'm Mav. I'm playing Dosh. I am playing a swashbuckler monk at level 9. I rolled 11. Brian?
Hello. I am Brian Kershaw, and I will be playing Professor Norvin Scree and Eldritch Mythos Scholar. I'm sure that won't be important in any way, shape, or form. And I got a 12. Thankfully, I'm not on the hook for the recap because I have no idea what happened.
Brian is the GM of the wonderful and amazing Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle podcast, which I definitely recommend you listen to immediately. Like, stop right now.
Finish this episode and then go listen to us.
Just listen to them both at the same time. It'd work out great.
One in each ear.
They sync up like Dark Side of the Moon.
Don't reveal all of our secrets. We got to let the listener find some things on their own.
While you're watching Wizard of Oz played backwards.
Wizard of Oz, that's old. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 synced with that is the new way to go.
Blart synced with that. It's still Pink Floyd, though.
Blart Side of the Moon. Blart Side of the Moon.
That's cheating, John. Paul Blart goes with everything.
Look it up. Look it up.
It's like the hero's journey, but reversed.
Thank you, Jesse, for volunteering to do the recap.
Yeah, that's what I did. I volunteered. So last session, if I remember right, we picked up after the death of Taro Shin, and we kind of discussed what we wanted to go do next. We all hopped on an airship pretty quickly to head towards Farthen to begin the process of trying to see what we could do about Oswald's affliction, his curse. Jasper has put me in contact with Professor Norvin Scree out in Farthen, who is potentially someone who could help me. While on the airship, I gave some more information to the crew about what I know about what's going on with me and how it's been affecting me and whatnot, which is probably half of what I know is accurate. In the meantime, some other side stuff got moved forward. Keegan got in touch with his dad by borrowing somebody else's phone because his dad was not on speaking terms with him. That did not turn out great. Sounds like Keegan is on the shit list with his dad. Let's see what else. Xavier, apparently, is AWOL for the last few days, according to Matilda. There is some kind of terrorist activity going on back in Dust Banter. We know that the Snow Days set, at least, has been attacked. We think there's been some other happenings in Dust Banter as a result of Taro's son, Yuno-shin, and maybe probably some other Kabuto Syndicate associates with him. And I think Dosh got pestered by some audible shards, which I'm not sure he shared with us, but, you know, it happened. I think that's the highlights.
Keegan also rambled on about a bunch of stuff that no one remembers.
That's right. Yes, I didn't write that part down because I wasn't present for it.
Doesn't matter. No one remembers anyway.
We talked around about a lot of stuff, but no one really knows what we're talking about.
You kind of forget... we gain from that. Do we understand that we're missing information or missing memories at this point?
You are aware that things are off.
I think we kind of were able to figure out that Marshall had used the sword and erased someone. But, like, beyond anything other than that, we don't know, right?
You can't prove a non-thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Keegan can explain to you a non-thing, and you all go, okay. And you're done. Like,
yeah. I think we were talking around it enough. We kind of got the concept down that like reality has changed because somebody got erased. But that's it's impossible to go further than that.
Yeah, you recognize there's a human hole shaped loss in your memory, but that shape does not fit with anything you know. Oh, also, Forz is on Domin's shit list.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Oh, and I'm on Marsha's shit list.
I mean, you have been, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but
and I don't know if anybody did anybody ever actually clue Keegan in that Marsh intends to kill you if he sees you again?
Yeah, I think that was mentioned.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Going with it.
Also, I believe Dosh is on a few people's shit list as well.
Oh, the whole city of Golden at this point.
And that's all of us.
Not me. Everybody still loves me.
Except the anchored.
Yeah, you know, in a fun turnabout, Lucius is the only one who had a successfully enjoyable encounter.
Because of the combination of get him and super runaway?
No, he had a conversation with Matilda that didn't end with anybody disliking each other.
Right? Oh, you mean...
But I do believe we ended that session with all of you finally arriving in Farthen and heading out to a yurt rounded about in the valley, and so we'll pick up from there. Standing before you is a Corlian. Brian, go ahead and give us your description.
Absolutely. Professor Norvin Scree is a very, very large man. He almost has the look and build of someone who could have done some kind of professional athletics or maybe has some kind of military background, even more so than what one expect of just a standard Corlian. He's got incredibly broad shoulders. He's at least 6.5 feet tall. He is wearing a kind of classic professor tweed suit with leather patches on the elbows. He has sandy blonde hair with just a few touches of gray, and a light beard. Kind of looks over the lot of you. What is it that I owe this visit to? I'm not often found here.
I'll walk right up to you, Oswald will, and extend a hand and say, Professor Scree, my name is Oswald. I believe Jasper's been in touch with you?
Oswald Rayland. Yes, yes, yes. I have been eagerly anticipating meeting you. Please, come in. Yes, Jasper has told me some details, but I have a great deal to ask about.
Okay.
Please, your various friends can come in as well. And he looks over the assembled party. It's like, huh, that's an interesting group that you brought with you.
Yeah, it was not until literally like yesterday that it became clear that it was going to be all of us arriving and not just me. Also, Jasper warned me that you don't use HCOMs, so I couldn't phone ahead.
No, we'll discuss. Terrible things. Terrible. Not trustworthy in the least. I say, a Corlian. Marshall, would I recognize any symbols of rank or anything that he might have?
On my Gladius, I've got some symbols that indicate that I was in a demolitions unit. And a mechanic as well.
Pinned to the lapel of his suit, he has a couple of bars of rank, and also has a little hummingbird insignia.
Okay. Keegan will salute you.
He'll give a salute right back. Come in. Don't get too many folks with that penchant out here. And then he notices Dosh. You are a very interesting android.
I get that told that quite often, as I'll bow deeply and introduce myself.
And he kind of holds up his hand a little bit, and he's sort of measuring different areas of Dosh a few feet away.
I'll like strike poses as you do, like.
Don't appear to have a single right angle on your person.
I can change that if you like.
Not in the least. I find you currently acceptable.
Oswald will feel a shiver go down his spine when Professor Scree says that, because he's never realized that before, but it's a dead giveaway that strange things are afoot.
Now, come in. Yes. Inside of his yurt, everything is just a little bit odd. It takes all of you a second to kind of get a feel for this, because you can't immediately put your finger on it. But for the first time in probably a while, Oswald is going to feel so relaxed. And you start to realize every single thing in this entire space has had right angles removed.
Hmm.
The books have had the edges sanded down. The shelves are all slightly rounded and bowed. There are no chairs. There are only rocking chairs. Everything has curves, and there is not a single sharp right angle in the entirety of the place. There are strange incenses that are wafting about. There's a little potbelly stove that's all rounded and curved in the center. Even the chimney for it loops around on itself so that it does not have any angles to it.
So,
Oswald, tell me a little bit about the nature of your condition. Jasper had some notes for me, but obviously she was missing certain key information.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Oswald will look around for a place to sit and probably choose a rocking chair. Well, it started a few months back when I was, I guess, infected by some creatures that had some Far Realm influence.
Oh, if you do want to take that back, Jesse, it's been almost a year in-game.
A year? Holy crap, okay.
Because we're in fall now, so we're approaching the next Festival of Families.
All right, then yeah. It started about a year ago when I guess I was infected by some creatures that had some Far Realm influence. Unnaturally injected into them. They weren't natively Far Realm creatures, but they had some kind of weird extraplanar technology that infused them or something. And since then, there's been a few other incidents where I've been exposed to Far Realm influence. I think I've even been there. I got to have the power to be able to go through corners and visit. And that was before I really knew what it was and how dangerous it was. And he's clearly like remembering what it was like on the Far Realm and his time there, and it's not a pleasant memory.
Mr. Rayland, this is of great significance and import. You say you've experienced being in the Far Realm. Do you intend to open the gates?
Oswald will like, he's probably been like kind of mostly relaxed, as you said, being in this yurt, and you know, kind of like head down a little bit and just kind of took a lot of talking to you. As soon as you say the phrase "open the gates," he tenses right back up and looks at you and says, "Could you repeat that, Professor Scree?
Do you intend to open the gates?"
No.
Excellent. Then, oh, terrible idea. Apocalyptic scenario. Not very good. I would not recommend. We would be having a very different conversation were you intending to continue pursuit of that particular outlet. But if you're intending on severing this connection, that is something we could potentially look into. Yes. Now, you said this happened over a year ago. You entered the Far Realm at some point.
Yeah, I went to Tyndalos's realm, or maybe the realm is Tyndalos. I'm not entirely clear on it.
It's a common conception. It's difficult to articulate for creatures such as us. There are certain parties that Professor A.S. Glancy Fool, who describes the hounds as like ticks upon the back. Foolishness. No. I have a book somewhere here. Maybe I will read a book somewhere here. Dr. Murray Hopper has a pan-galactic theory of multidimensional travel wherein creatures like Tyndalos are a singular entity, and what we perceive of them, the hounds, are like, the best layman's example would be like a giant's fingers put into a stream.
Huh.
Imagine you are a fish. You see one finger and think of it as a single entity. You continue down the stream and see another finger. To you, this must be a new creature, but it is all part of one singular organism.
I kind of interrupt a little bit with a simple spell as the ghost sound of open the gates, open the gates, open the gates, open the gates, open the gates. As I'm thinking back to Oswald saying that, and then I'll just stop as it kind of sounds more and more like Oswald and say, I think we need to revisit this open the gates thing.
Revisit in what regard?
You said that it would be, were your words on that, opening the gates. What does it mean?
It would be a representation of a metaplanar connection between our reality and that of Tyndalos. For lack of a more refined assessment, imagine you took a pipe and wedged it from one place into another, creating a siphon, allowing a flow to enter in.
Jeff, did I nail it?
Yeah.
That matches with what I feel like it means. When I was there, Tyndalos wanted me to open the gates so that they could come through.
Yes, he would. Now, Oswald, I'm going to ask you a somewhat indelicate question. Have you made any sort of agreement? Any promise? Any pact?
Maybe. When I was there, they wanted me to eat something. And I did. Yes. I think they were sheep, kind of. Not, you know, like, in a way that, like, is totally unlike sheep, but, yeah.
Yes. Let's not worry about the finer points of digestion, and instead focus on what that means on a metaphysical level. When you had this infection, when you had some of that Far Realm effluvia enter your system, that opened a door. But it didn't mean that you promised anything. However, in consuming, enjoying, and imbibing with them, you have made a pact of the body. That is a promise. A step taken. There are only three steps you can take, each one moving closer to the opening of the gate. There is also the pact of the mind and the pact of the soul. Were all three sealed, so too would doors be unsealed. However, it's not too late. Yes. Now, tell me, Oswald, this is incredibly important. Do you have a Hedron communicator on you?
Yeah, and I'll pull it out of my pocket.
Could you open the back of that device?
I guess, and yeah, I'll handily open it.
I'm assuming, Jeff, it is covered in circuit boards, the usual type of thing one would expect to see on the inside of a phone?
Yeah.
Ah, all right, Oswald. You must dispose of that device as quickly as possible. What? Note the conjoined lines, the corners, the intricacies and artifice of it all. This is one of the problems of your Hedron technology. All right angles.
Again?
I got it.
All right. I'll hand it over to Keegan, who is the best I know at destroying HCOMs.
I'd be happy to throw it in the fireplace for you if you'd prefer.
Sorry, in Keegan's hands. It's up to him.
I trust a Corlean with demolitions.
Play it from time.
I was just going to pocket it at the moment.
Yeah, we all have HCOMs, and we're constantly around people that have them.
Terrible habit. You should dispose of them all.
And then what about slivers?
Generally, fewer angles on all of those. Probably a safer technology overall. Of course, that's just my personal opinion. I prefer to be safe on these types of things.
Why do you need to be safe on these types of things?
Ah, yes, just so. Just so I could see the wisdom in your eyes of this decision. Now, Mr. Rayland, you are beset of mind, body, and soul, but we may have something that could help you. Music. We need sound.
Yeah, music helps. Like a violin, right?
Well, that is an option. But it is a most dangerous one. Now, there is...
Hold on. Did you not hear me, or are you just ignoring my question?
Absolutely did hear you. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right.
What did you ask?
I asked why you needed to be so concerned about HCOMs, kind of insinuating that you seem to know more about our realm, like you're trying to avoid being attacked by some Hounds of Tyndalos as well.
Hmm. That is quite correct. Quite correct indeed. You see, so many of these modern devices are all patterned on square right angles. Their primary form of attack. I personally am of the deep set opinion that many of these individuals at these higher up levels of corporations are in fact more aware of these distant realms and possibilities than we have seen thus far. I suspect, I have nothing to corroborate this other than some readings that I have done and yet will do. However, I suspect they are designing such devices for the purpose of easing entry into our world.
What? But that doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that?
Ah, why wouldn't they? Surely you're familiar with, the large corporations out of Dusk Banter. Why would someone who's running such an organization perhaps seek to undermine certain fundamental laws of the universe? Surely it benefits and profits them somehow. Yes. Far safer, I think, to live at a distance from these things, to keep away from them. I must admit, I'd normally be suspicious of your, metal friend here, but your angles are particularly acceptable.
I think so myself.
But you've just read of it. You've never experienced the farm realm.
Oh, yes. I have had some first-hand experience. I was quite some time ago, but I was actually a member of a paramilitary squad out of Sandus. I was part of the 3rd Vastwood Aerial. Fortunately, it was a short-lived endeavor. However, my scientific achievement and magical theory proved such that I was sent on a fact-finding expedition to the libraries of Farthen. and may have accidentally wandered through a door that I should not have entered. I became a bit, stuck in space, I think the phrase may potentially be. Or stuck out of space, possibly. I was inside of those towers for quite some time, with little to do other than read.
Hmm. You mean the tower is where the gate is?
Yes, yes, yes.
But all there was inside was books?
Well, there was quite a bit more than that. There were doors, there were portals, there were places to wander and sights to warp the mind. Not mind, though. That's why I stayed in the library.
Ha. Huh.
Just okay. Books and books and books and books that haven't been written and books that will be written and books that were written that are no longer written. Chronomancy is quite a bit to wrap one's mind around.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I say, that is a strange sidearm that you happen to carry there. Master Keegan, what might that be that you have strapped to your person?
Actually, I was kind of hoping to talk to you about this as well, since, you know, you're in Farthen and seem to have some expertise with...
I have had some experience, although thankfully not directly with that.
It's a time flare blade.
I cannot help but notice that you are yourself not a time flare.
No, I am not.
Dare I even inquire how you obtained such a thing? Perhaps a long story you don't remember.
No, I remember everything.
Ah, long story only you remember.
That is precisely it. Basically, in the heat of a battle, we were on the same side as the Time Flare. He was felled, and I took up the blade as to not let it fall into the wrong hands. And that's the story we're sticking with.
Is that not what happened?
No, that's what happened. There may have been a little tug of war, but yeah, that, anyway. But yes, he fell, and in order to keep it out of the wrong person's hands, it was I grabbed it.
Indeed.
Who was the wrong person's hands?
They don't exist.
You probably
anymore.
Don't remember them.
Redacted.
Redacted. They don't exist anymore. And you won't remember this in 5 minutes.
I don't like that.
I already don't remember it.
Considering that's we had a conversation about this yesterday, that's about right.
We did?
You weren't there. This was another reason we wanted to come to Farthen.
Now, should I perhaps assume that you are looking to unburden yourself of that?
Yeah, and if it's any way to fix what's been done, I would like that as well.
I will need to do a bit further research onto that. I have mostly been preparing for Mr. Rayland and what Jasper was able to tell me of his condition, but I certainly have some books that I can look into.
I would appreciate that if you remember. Do you remember?
I do for now that I remember that I don't remember things. Did you come in with more people than I'm currently seeing here?
I look around did you? See who all's here.
That's a good question to answer.
Look around for extra guns on the ground and stuff.
I mean, Brian is wondering where is Ernest right now?
Ernest, from what I last recall, was given a invite to Dusk Banter and is packing his bags to head to Amon headquarters for his new job with his new friends.
Fantastic. There's still six of us in this yurt, right?
Correct. Okay. There's also a small valley forager, an albino-like squirrel with chameleon features. Kind of imagine a squirrel, but the tail can grab onto branches, and its eyes do move independently. As its fur changes colors, but it will stop and look at you all for a moment before scooting out under the lower side of the yurt.
Is that thing always here?
Possibly. In truth, I can't be sure.
Well, all the people that came in are still here. No one knew.
Well,
no,
that's probably fine then. It is pivotal, though. Don't murder anyone with that.
I do not intend to do that again.
You again?
Again?
Oh, yeah.
Keegan. Yes, well, I'll need to do some research.
Hence the guy not being here anymore.
Indeed. Well, you will be my number two priority again. No murdering until sorted. However, Oswald, you are what I have been doing research on thus far. That said, I do have a bit of positive news for you. I've been looking through some of my books, and I think I may have just the thing. It's been said that one uses art to decorate space, and one uses music to decorate time. The right sound, the right cadence, the right frequency can sever that connection.
Okay.
You've probably found a way to insulate yourself from it with music thus far, yes?
Kinda. Sometimes when I'm, like, playing happy music, it puts me in a happier mood, and that seems to help.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. The more connection that you have to the music, the more it grounds you and binds you to this world, the less you have another foot in theirs.
Hmm. But there's also been times, like, when they've been able to change the music and make it sound all creepy and weird.
Yes, they don't understand music at the most fundamental of levels. It is alien to them as they are alien to us. There is an artifact, in fact, three artifacts that we need. It is something old. Have any of you ever heard of the tubular bells of Ne'enoth?
There'd be a role for that.
Yeah. Geek is just going to say no.
Oh,
that's out of his realm.
Oh, yeah, I've been totally using these like wind chimes.
I've only heard the tubular bells of Oldfield.
Am I right in guessing that's a religion check?
That would be a religion check.
Well, I only got a 10.
John, do this one so good. I only got a 12.
No. What? What's a tubular bell?
I think with a 10-12, you both would recognize and understand that he's speaking of Ne'enoth, but yeah, no bells.
Jeff, would you say that doesn't ring a bell?
I would say it does not.
Oh.
And I was immediately kicked off the show.
Remember that no murdering bit? Let's forget this guy real fast.
And then we move on.
What are we doing in front of that again?
Don't know. Doesn't matter.
So Professor Scree will explain that this particular magical artifact is a set of three large tubular bells, which when played together can free someone of all pacts, oaths, and bonds. There is one of the body, one of the mind, and one of the soul.
I can finally get rid of my Safeway card. Thank God.
Listen, they can't work miracles.
Yeah, some Eldritch packs are permanent.
Once one has gone too far into the far realm, there is no coming back.
I think the timeshare pact is permanent.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Now, the good news is, in this quest, I have assistance for you. I, in fact, have one of the bells here.
Oh.
Ani's rummaging around through things, knocking over all of this various stuff that he has, and finally pulls out a large bell about the size of your leg out from under a futon.
Now, this is the bell of the body. We will also need the bell of the mind and the bell of the soul. Now, thankfully... Pardon me. No. I've gotten myself all mixed up. This is the bell of the mind. What we need is the bell of the body and the bell of the soul. Now, helpfully, I am familiar with where to find one of those, and I was familiar with when to find one of those.
Okay.
Now, the Bell of the Soul is a bit trickier, but the Bell of the Body, that is here in Farthen. It should be at somewhere not too far from here, in fact. There's a temple of Venenoth, filled with friendly and round-bellied priests. I think mostly halfling fellows. The Bell of the Soul, though, that was previously on the material plane in Duskbanter. I believe it was in the possession of someone who intended to destroy it. I know the date it was in Duskbanter, but it's now gone.
Okay, so we're screwed?
Well, you may be able to look for significant events that occurred around that date. I don't believe the bell was destroyed, but I believe something happened that moved it from the material plane somewhere else. And I believe it's possible we may be able to get it back. If you can find some significant event that happened in the city, something strange or unusual, that may be able to help pinpoint where it is now and give you a way of cross-referencing and relocating it.
Do you know when we need to be thinking?
Jeff, do I have a date for when that was last seen?
Oh, so is this in Farthen?
The one that he's missing was in Duskbanter. Okay. It had been stolen from Farthen.
See, if we have to find weird shit that happens in Farthen, we're going to be here all forever. Duskbanter is more doable.
Yeah. Depends on who had it.
The last time you had heard reference or were at least in communication with another adventure librarian who was able to confirm the Tubular Bell of Ananoth, it was on a ship several months ago.
Okay. And I believe it was making its way to Duskbanter, is that correct?
Correct.
So I'll be able to give you a cross-reference on the time, the point chronologically when we last had access to it. Then you should be able to track down the space, and hopefully through a cross-referencing be able to track down the bell itself.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Ah, precisely. Chronomancy. That's really usually the best we can do, is finding a single point of motion in several different planes and arcs at once.
Okay. You do?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Okay, so we need to find something weird that happened months ago, and that'll help us find where this thing is now?
Precisely.
And the weird thing happened near where the bell was on a ship?
Well, I believe it did successfully make it to Duskbanter.
Jeff, am I aware of who stole that bell? Because I've got it in my notes, but I want to make sure that I can share that information.
Yes, go for it.
Unfortunately, there was someone who was a servant to some of those outer powers. She goes by the name of Margaret.
Hmm.
I believe that she and several individuals may have had some kind of operation in Duskbanter, working on various foul technological projects.
Is that maybe the same Margaret as the ex-gargoyles? I'll look over at Fours.
I'll look up from my phone. What?
I will be honest, I was so worried I was just not getting Sean's audio this whole time.
Well, remember Fours, when you lost your drone in the ex-gargoyle facility and there was a whole invisible truck thing? There was also some like weird scrawlings and whatnot in that building that after it had been burned. I didn't really know what they meant at the time, but now I can tell they're definitely tied to like the Far Realm and this whole Tyndalos thing. So
after it had been burned?
Yeah, because we were there after it had been burned, looking for your drone.
Right. What did it say?
Open the gates and stuff related to that.
This does sound like the same Margaret I'm familiar with.
But that was longer ago than a few months, I think.
Time is a strange thing in that regard. But she would have been the one to have it. Now, I'm quite certain it wasn't destroyed. The sound and tone would be wrong if the bells no longer existed. However, it's not here. You said you found her lair?
I mean, I guess so. I don't really know a whole lot about the ex-gargoyles. Forrest knows more about that than me.
I haven't been keeping tabs on them or anything. But they didn't seem particularly far realmy to me.
Forrest, could you give me a wisdom check?
You do know shit, you fucker.
Oh man, I love the "you're about to remember some stuff" roll.
Debatable. Got an 11.
Yeah, with an 11, what? Sounds kind of familiar, maybe not. I don't know. This doesn't quite fit. I think you were at a continental breakfast and you saw some news report about a boat being attacked, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, that's the trigger for me to go back and check all my notes from snow days.
Snow notes.
You don't call them snouts?
I call them snow days so that I can keep track of them. But I do call it snow days regardless of what actual news show it is.
You realize how angry you would be at your past self if you actually name something Snotes and expect you to remember what you meant by that?
So just my Snotes then. Okay.
So there was something about a big Leviathan beast in the water that dragged a Seleni freighter beneath the waves.
That was a while back.
Yeah, that was a while back. I don't think that's it.
Also, I like to imagine that at least some of you are checking this on HCOMs, and Professor Scree is like, "Get out! Get out! Use those vile devices outdoors, at least."
Yeah, a lot about behemoths being killed. A Mercadine ship found empty of all crew in Seleni Bay. Blood on the ship, no bodies, partial video of a security camera before it being taken out. That was just some news report that didn't connect to anything at the time, so that could have been it.
Classic Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I've got in my news notes about ship stuff.
Yeah, that was the special episode of Snow Days where they're going to have their special guest on, Arturo Graves.
Up-and-coming entrepreneur.
Yep.
Open the gates, new flesh, release the hounds, new size.
I think that's what was written in Margaret's place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as I said, filthy technologists.
Oh, yeah, there was more, too. Open the gates, new mind, release the crown, new thought. Open the gates, new soul, release the spores, new growth. The prime will open soon, and then we could talk to the banished knight. Open the gate. I am the writer, she is the artist. Who is the one waiting at the glass sea? The king asks. Farthest realm calls to mother and father. A lot of weird stuff. So, I don't know if she was a far realm person, or if there just was somebody else at the facility. Wasn't there? What was going on at that facility, Forrest?
Which one?
The burned out one that you lost your drone at.
That last part you said, Oswald. Dosh, you can go ahead and give me a wisdom check.
Okay. 9.
Excellent. Yep. You hope something comes with it.
We're the best at remembering things.
What did you just say, Jesse?
I said, I am the writer, she is the artist. Who is the one waiting at the glass sea? The king asks, which was circled. Farthest realm calls to mother and father.
Only thing I can think of would be the Autumnal's perfection was waiting. Patience isn't far then. And Autumnal's perfection is at the glass sea, I believe.
Huh. So, Autumnal is tied into all of this? Or you are, I guess?
It sounds like it.
That makes sense. Since Sprite's casino, she didn't have any sharp edges anywhere in the casino as well.
Yeah, the whole casino was round edges.
Yeah, so she definitely knew to protect herself from Tyndalos. That's not an accident.
All what? Coming together.
Ask the professor, how difficult is it to navigate the towers?
Oh, deeply, deeply difficult. There are an infinite number of infinite doors, all of which can open to realities that may or may not exist or may once exist and may no longer. Places bend in non-conventional, non-Euclidean space in ways that rack the mind. There are endless fragments of half-formed realities that crumble apart beneath your feet. I stayed mostly in the libraries.
I was going to say we can go visit patients, but that doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
Okay, well, it sounds like Margaret's the one who stole this bell, and it does sound like, given the weird scratchings we were seeing on the ex-Cargwell facility, it's probably the same Margaret, so I guess we need to figure out how to track her down? Or is that not how the way it works, Professor? Is it not like, are we on a scavenger hunt to go find this bell, or do we need to find something weird and timey-wimey to, like, pluck it out of where it got lost in time?
Is the tricky part. I suspect if you found her lair, it would have been somewhere there, unless she tried to somehow make an egress from that place in rapid succession. But I don't know of any system of ethereal travel or otherwise that she might have utilized there to try and get away.
Yeah, that is a mystery.
But that said, if you know where her domain was, that would be where I would search. There may be something yet to be uncovered there that you had not in your previous endeavors.
I'll lean over to Forrest and be like, why does he keep calling someone's apartment a domain?
Listen, I live in a yurt.
You're not supposed to hear that. He's got ninja hearing.
It's a very small space. Really good acoustics, though.
It's all those corners gone.
I remember asking Gore if he could try and find Margaret at the time, but I think the trail went cold. Am I remembering that correctly?
You are.
But Gore is an ex-gargoyle himself, so he might know how to track her down.
It's a good call. He might also know something about why she was interested in getting this bell in the first place. If it was a gargoyle thing, or an ex-gargoyle thing, rather than just a Margaret thing.
Yeah, potentially.
Why would she only steal the one? What can you do with just one of these bells?
Well, precious little, but if one were to be able to break it somehow, that would prevent them from working at all. It would prevent someone from being able to sever a bond.
Okay.
Are these bells magical?
Oh, quite.
I'll try to prove it.
By detecting magic?
Yep.
My whole story's about to fall apart. I'm just a crazy man in a yurt, everybody.
It was a gift from my nephew. It's magic to me.
Using detect magic on it, you will have a moment there where you are definitely subsumed with magic, right? You are looking at an artifact level item that bleeds a extreme amount of conjuration, abjuration, and divination.
I like to think I'm mistakenly like taking a sip of my coffee and I just like blow some out my nose for a second.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's magical.
And just about a second before that coffee blew out of your nose, he was reaching into his pocket for a hanky.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was slightly too late.
Yeah, magically the coffee cleans itself.
Ah, marvelous.
I'm used to this.
Snorting coffee out your nose?
What just happened, Lucius?
He does it on purpose to clear out his sinuses.
It's like a neti pot for him. It's really
Let's all watch the neti pot video. The popular neti pot video.
There's a video?
Let's bring it up to double digits, guys.
So you know how vile and dark his coffee is. It's probably got a hole being chewed through his sinuses right now.
I'll say that, like, that. Wow, that is an artifact.
Indeed. Just like indeed. You said. I wouldn't waylay you or mislay you with information. Unfortunately, they will not work individually. All three bells must be brought together. The Temple of Enoth has kept them purposefully apart for that reason.
Well, what could they do together other than stop Tyndalos from coming through to our plane? That seems like just a universally good thing. Why would they want to keep them apart?
They are for uses more than simply that. The bond, the oath, the pact that you have is with Tyndalos. But this could sever any bond, any connection.
I will look over at Lucius.
At least with the right musical tone.
So we could break, say, an employment contract.
Stop trying to get out of dungeon crawl.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend using artifacts to get rid of parking tickets or having to work overtime, but I suppose perhaps.
Well, this is the kind of employment contract where we get told to murder people sometimes. Or else.
So the kind with benefits, then?
No, the kind with time flare blades.
Now, also, Jeff, before we dig into that one, I wanted to look into what I could with some of my books here to see if there's anything I could find for the time flare blade that Keegan is carrying.
You can't believe you called a greatsword a sidearm. just my side greatsword.
Hey, consider how armed Keegan is. It's right. All sidearms.
Right.
Is it still in a bundle of rope on your back with two other swords?
No, one of those other swords got taken.
That's a one other sword.
So I've got my Gladius, and then this one bundled up.
I also like to imagine you're in the Punch Junction armor too.
Not at the moment. I think the Punch Junction's back in Dust Panther.
Ah. It's like you wanted a low profile in Golden for some reason.
We did. Well, briefly. Then we started standing out.
What? You guys? Hard to believe. Jeff, Keegan had asked about maybe ending that burden, being able to maybe even get things back to how they were before using the sword, I think.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything that I could try and roll to maybe be able to look into that a bit?
Yeah, go ahead and give me a knowledge planes.
Okay. I do have that, and I have a very high value in that. Is there any chance that lore would also work for that?
Or is that lore more of a plane?
I think it was more Far Realm lore when we talked about it. But
okay,
I wasn't
then
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this would not apply to Far Realm lore.
Okay, so just lore of the planes. However, I rolled pretty good. 30.
So with a 30, with your knowledge of obscure things of the planes, damage done by a Time Flayer's blade can only be done by the Ulakri, the head of the Time Plane, which is a almost pseudo-mythical figure. Whether or not the Ulakri actually exists would be higher than that role.
Okay. I will convey all of that to Keegan, letting him know as much as I know and letting him know that we have sort of reached the end of even my theoretical knowledge and we're getting into best guesswork.
That's something at least.
I'm afraid this isn't my specific area of expertise. I'm somewhat narrowly focused on the planes of the Far Realm and sort of planes and such, but if it were possible to restore the balance to what it was, assuming you have used such a weapon, then it would have to be the Ulakri on the Plane of Time. Or at least that's the best that I could find here.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course, of course. Now, Oswald, I was mentioning earlier, we are relatively close to the Bell of the Body. We do have, as you mentioned, the Bell of the Soul as somewhat an intangible, which feels oddly fitting. But at least this we can get close to. And have it be at least somewhat less of a scavenger hunt.
Okay. How would we get it from the temple? I mean, if they're trying to keep the bell separate, they're not just going to hand it over.
I should be able to put in a request. I'm quite familiar with them. They've entrusted me with the Bell of the Mind, so when I explain the situation to them, we should be all right.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty easy then.
Of course, just in case, we should probably be prepared for any possible eventuality or outcome, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
What do you mean? Like a fight? Like,
oh, when's the last time you talked
to these guys?
What year is it?
I will respond with whatever in-game year it is.
Oh, I'm sure I've talked to them quite recently. At least somewhere in the range of 6 to 36 months ago, probably.
Huh.
And plus, we're good at getting stuff, so, you know.
Ah, yeah.
Marvelous.
This feels like maybe a different level of stuff, though. Like, it's an artifact? Like, from a god?
Like those swords we got?
Or the scythe?
Are folks still talking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, Zach.
Street Fighter strikes again.
I closed the tab!
With better timing, it's perfect role-playing. If Keegan was talking about things that everyone has to not know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tragically, Professor Scree's hearing is occasionally in the past and in the present, so he can't hear what's going on right now. So, Jeff, is there anything we need to prepare for heading over to that temple?
Let's see here. Not unless there's something else the party needs to do.
I can't think of anything.
Not at the moment.
No.
Also, how did you get to the professor's yurt?
How far was it from the airship drop-off? Or the airship port?
Oh, I mean, you would have taken a taxi to the edge of the city and then gone into the Farthen Valley.
Okay. So probably just have to walk.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Rick. So that means we're walking out.
Yeah.
So he will load up on some food, making sure to bring any kind of supplies. He's got his spell book, his preparations. He is more than happy to get some food and things for everybody before we depart. He's got a couple of very strange and odd reagents that he's bringing with him. And also, just in case he needs it, is bringing his Corlean Thumper.
Nice. Mm. Are you packing, like, some trail mix, or are you packing, like, several days worth of food here? Like, how far are we walking?
I see you haven't been in Farthen long. The short answer is we're traveling, yes. It would be a short amount of time, and perhaps we'll only need a light snack, or it may be a prolonged journey, depending how long it takes us to get there.
Huh. What?
I know where it is, but I don't yet know when it is.
Okay. What are we likely to encounter along the way? Like, is there wildlife around here?
Oh, no. It should be fine.
Then what's the thumper for?
Making sure that I have it and don't need it. Rather than needing it and not having it.
For the same reason we all carry weapons on us.
Always yeah, be prepared. My hand will go down to the spot on my hip where my sword isn't. Boy, I really need to do some shopping when we get a chance.
Oh, here, take my constant blade.
Okay. I'll give it a few swishes. Outside.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, this is real cool. Chop, chop, chop.
I don't think I'm proficient with this thing.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I'll have to check.
I've been meaning to give that to you for like 3 episodes now.
I mean, at some point, I will legitimately do some shopping because, you know, We need to. We do need to, and Lucius has a shit ton of money, which I presume he's intending to share.
Only if he dies.
Well, you know. If he doesn't, that's fine. I think I've still got paychecks coming as well.
We do.
Thanks, Keegan. Sure. This will help. You're not very good with this, with that gun.
So as you all head outside of the yurt, couple things. Fours, you will see a couple of those Valley Foragers as they are looking suspiciously at the yurt as you all come out with that intent of like, are you trying to find where I'm burying my seeds? But you will notice that around one of the foragers, a variety of nature spirits, you'll see those kind of pine cone heads, cherries used for like shoulder blades as they kind of march along following that singular squirrel. Though the squirrel does not seem to be aware of them, it does try to bury it somewhere out of sight. But in the winter shadow of summer trees, you will all begin to head out as Professor Scree casts a spell.
I am going to summon Communal Mount to get horses for everybody.
There is no way Oswald has ever even seen a horse.
Yeah.
I was picturing like one big mount we could all ride.
Communal mount, it's a horse that's big enough for the community.
Summon the cat bus.
The cat bus, yes.
Oh, this is great. I can ride a horse.
I'm willing to give it a go.
Yep. Our options are a light horse or a pony, so Oswald's definitely getting a pony.
Hooray!
I try to glean what kind of caster you are based off that.
I have no idea what I would need to roll as far as helping or hindering your understanding.
You don't need to.
Lucius, give me a spellcraft.
I got a total of a 26.
You can tell Professor Scree is a wizard.
Out a book and just did it. No, I know that's not how wizards work. All right, neat.
So with that, then we have our party as they start to head from an autumn part of the valley into a spring feel. Leaves turning red while clashing against the brilliant green of fresh growth as they head towards the Temple of Ennanoth. And that's the end. It's over.
Yay.
Hey.
Woo! But Brian, go ahead and give us a shout out. Tell us where people can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on the podcast Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle. We are a podcast playing the Vossen RPG system, set in Seattle in the late 1800s, exploring creatures out of folklore and mythology. I also host another podcast, which is playing the alien RPG called Facehuggers and Friends.
You have a Stormlight Archive one as well.
We've got that as a mini-series that is just going to be wrapping up very soon.
Ah,
so that's great. On our main Spirits and Monsters feed, and then we're going to get back to our main story.
Perfect. And... Thanks for listening, everybody. Like, rate, review, you know, stuff. Do the thing. It helps. Our intro and outro are from Nihilor, Its Consequences, and Wallet Farthen, your bass song will be Sleepwalking. I do highly recommend checking out Brian's podcast. It is a blast to listen to, and he is just a really good host. With that, yeah, I can't think of anything else to say, but I hope you're doing okay this winter, and fuck ice. All right, bye.